Exactly 200 years ago tonight, the carol Silent Night debuted at St. Nicholas Parish in Oberndorf, Germany. 104 years ago, in the trenches of World War I, German soldiers set up on the edge of their trenches little Christmas trees that had been sent from their homeland. They lit candles and they began to sing. Stille Nacht, Heilige Nacht, Silent Night, Holy Night. About 50 yards away, at first, the British soldiers were afraid. And then they were confused. But soon enough, the German and the British soldiers sang Christmas carols together. One letter home from that night said a lot of us went over and talked to them. And this lasted the whole morning. I talked to several of them, and I must say they seemed extraordinarily fine men. Other letters describe shaking hands, sharing bread, trading cakes for barrels of beer. They even helped one another bury the dead and held joint memorial services. In some places, this troop-initiated Christmas truce lasted for about a week. And this is a beautiful story. It's a story that also begs the question, what happened next? For this was in 1914, and the war was young. There are a variety of stories that are somewhat gruesome that I could share, but suffice it to say, the generals came in and reminded their troops that we are in the war business. Essentially, you may be a Christian, but more importantly, you're British. You're a subject of the king. You may be Christian, but more importantly, you're German. You may be Christian, but more importantly, you're French. You may be a Christian, but more importantly, you're Bavarian. And in very little time, there are records of as many as 50,000 casualties a day up the Western Front, making up for lost time. Now, whether we find ourselves in the trenches of war or not, we are faced with this same dilemma on a daily basis. Who is our true king? And what kind of king is he? Our last snapshot of the season that Isaiah gives us of what the Messiah that God is sending would be like is from Isaiah 9. We begin in verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the trampling warriors and the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For unto us a child has been born, unto us a son is given. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Isaiah gives us a snapshot of a Messiah who will bring an end to war and to oppression. He gives us a snapshot of a child who will usher in a kingdom of abundant and expansive joy, and all authority will be upon his shoulders, for he will be unmatched in wisdom, the wonderful counselor, and in power, the mighty God. His loving care will endure, the everlasting Father, and his reign will be marked by shalom, by justice, wholeness, peace. His kingdom will be a place where the image of God flourishes among all its citizens, the Prince of Peace. Now, Israel, of course, for hundreds of years had this snapshot of their Messiah. But just as we often do, they tried to fit what the prophet spoke into something that they were familiar with. And so we often take Jesus and fit him into our story, fit him into our identity, into our allegiances and commitments, into our understanding of power and kingship. For it is difficult for us, as it was for Israel, as it was for those soldiers during World War I, it is difficult for us to accept that God could express power in vulnerability. So we create some sort of rags to riches story where Jesus must overcome the poverty of the manger, must overcome the cross on his way towards something better. The manger and the cross then become like the 12 labors of Hercules, where Jesus can prove by overcoming them and conquering them that he is better and more deserving than anyone else. But that is not what is happening in this story. Indeed, God is subverting all of the ways that we think about power and kingship. God says, take everything you know about a king and about power, forget it, and then meet me at the manger so that I can show you what kind of king I am, what kind of kingdom I am creating, and how to follow the path by which you can co-create this kingdom with me. The events of Jesus' life are not stops on the way to his throne. They are his throne. Christ reigns as the objectionable and awkward child of an unwed mother. Christ reigns as the vulnerable infant dependent on the milk from his mother's breast for life. Christ reigns as the refugee fleeing his homeland. Christ reigns as the one reviled for sharing a table with sinners. Christ reigns as the leper toucher, the child welcomer, and the foot washer. Christ reigns as the prisoner slandered and accused by those who felt their power slipping away. Christ reigns as the traitor executed by the empire. Christ reigns as the crucified one, forever exposing humanity's sinful impulse to blame, condemn, and accuse, even as he reveals the divine impulse to forgive, to heal, and to reconcile. It is not as though Jesus overcame these unfortunate circumstances and misunderstandings as he climbed the ladder to his royal destiny. The sinner's table and the manger and the cross are his throne. Christ is eternally Is the King eternally creating and reigning within a kingdom for the lost and the broken and the forgotten? And so, friends, in the manger, we see not just a cute baby. We see the King, Christ the Lord, reigning, humbly offered as a gift to the whole world in vulnerability and grace. The beginning of a new creation. The one who shows us who God is and how God reigns, and who shapes us into kings and queens who reign upon the earth in the image of love himself. We have a King who does not fit our stories and our snapshots of kingship, who those kings and queens who reign over and use their power for their own purposes. We have a King who, from cradle to cross, says, "Let us reign together, offering ourselves broken and poured out to one another for the good of all." Let's pray. Christ, our Lord and King, may we receive this story as a picture of a God who calls us to vulnerability, to humility, and to love. Wipe out all the other stories that we try to fit you into, and this Christmas be born in us anew, that we may receive you as the gift you are and follow you as the King that you are. Amen.